Hello and welcome to Reasonably Fit. We're Jason and Lauren Pack, and this is the podcast for anyone who wants a more thoughtful and grounded approach to health and fitness.
If you'd like to support our show, we have a couple discount codes you can use on some of our personal favorite products. The first is our favorite workout footwear, Vivo Barefoot. Vivos are the best of the best when it comes to minimal footwear, and the Primus Lights are the shoes you see us wearing in all of our Instagram content. You can save 10% off your entire purchase with the code PAK10. That's PAK10. Just go to www.vivobarefoot.com or click the link in our show notes to get a pair today. The second is for our favorite supplement brand, Legion. We've tried so many different supplement brands over the years, and right now nothing beats Legion. Our current go-tos are the whey protein powder, pulse pre-workout, creatine, and immune support, because if you listen to this show, you know our kids are constantly bringing home new viruses from school. We almost always turn down partnership deals because we only ever want to work with brands that we use and love ourselves. And we actually reached out to Legion to partner because we love it so much. You can use code PAK20, that's PAK20, for 20% off your first order and then double loyalty points for subsequent orders, which is the equivalent of 10% cash back. Just go to www.legionathletics.com or click the link in our show notes. Using our codes really helps to support our show and it saves you money at the same time. So we think it's a win-win. Okay, with that said, let's get into today's episode.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode.
We're so excited to be here.
We're very excited. We're going to be on a plane.
Next week when this episode comes out. Yes.
Or we're going to be getting ready to leave to go on a plane.
Sure, yeah.
And we're going to bright and vibrant Venice, Florida.
I young, feel like you're saying that.
Youthful.
It might be. I don't know that much nightlife. About it.
That's true. That's true.
Well, because Sarasota has Siesta Key, which is like, they've made like...
MTV?
Yeah, yep. MTV. So it can't be that old.
Yeah.
Get it? I don't know. Maybe it is. Anyway, we're going to the west coast of Florida because I have family down there. My parents are actually renting a house down there for an entire month. They both just retired, so congrats to my Woo! Parents. And so they wanted to do this as a way to get out of the New England winter for an entire month. And also my mom's sister, my aunt is down there. My grandparents are down there. So it's definitely the place for them to be.
It's going to be a party. Yeah. So we're going to go down there. This is our first flight in, well, not for us, but first flight for our family in 3 years
yeah.
or so.
Well, Kendrick doesn't even remember that he's been on a plane. So yeah, I mean, I think the last time was we went, actually it was to Florida, and we went like the month before everything shut down for the pandemic.
Oh, right, right. We yeah. February. And, so yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So Kinsley's never been on a plane. Kendrick's, this is going to be probably maybe his first memory of being on a plane.
Yeah. I feel like he's going to be thrilled.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be so amazing when we're there, but we're definitely stressing about what to pack, how the whole airport experience is going to go. We have layovers, both sides. It's just, there's a lot of stuff going on, but we're very excited to be in warm weather, get that vitamin D, get that sunlight, get some tanning going on.
Yeah.
And enjoy the day. So all yeah, it. we're pretty pumped.
Yeah, we can't wait. So yeah, as you're listening to this, we might be up in the air. I was going to say a certain number of miles up in the air, but as we know, I probably would get it so wrong.
It's like literally you'd be in space.
What is it? How many miles?
I'm not sure actually. But anyway, just think about us. We're going to be flying peacefully, not annoying any of our neighboring seats. Not Kendrick won't be kicking anyone in front of him. Kinsley won't be crying. Everyone's going to be happy and just relaxed.
I like this manifestation.
Yes.
So, okay, great. Okay, so today's episode we wanted to do bring back the Q&A. We've done this a couple times. We used to have an entire separate podcast that was all Q&As, but every time we've done it on this podcast, it has been well received, and it's just a nice way to bring in some questions that aren't like necessarily full episode worthy, but definitely recurring questions and themes that come up for us that we wanted to touch on today.
Yeah. So Q&A, should we call it the Qua? Should that be our new segment from now on? Reasonably Fit Pods Qua?
No. Okay. All right. What's wrong with Q&A? It's already shortened.
No, there's a whole word in between Q and the A. So we can just abbreviate that and go Qua.
But I feel like I call it Q&A, like it's almost like Q-N-A.
Oh, like
I realize that
N?
That's not how what I'm saying, but I talk really fast, so kind of just sounds like Q&A.
All right, well, we'll continue to workshop this and we'll get back to you.
Okay, I'll do another poll. Oh, by the way, I did a poll last week on our episode where we talked about what's worse, creating more dishes from meal prep or making me hang dry your clothes. Resoundingly, people said you're more annoying.
I feel like there might be some bias there. And the way it was proposed, people clearly knew that you put up the story.
I tried to be unbiased in the way I tried to say, like, when Lauren makes more dishes for Jason versus when Jason makes Lauren hang up his clothes. So I tried to make it pretty unbiased. But anyway, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I saw the results.
Slightly more annoying. But a lot of people did say that they appreciated that we both do an equal amount of household chores. So yes, there's that. Yep, there's that. Okay, anyway, let's get into question number one. Frog in my throat.
The frog qua.
Okay, question number one is, what are some good exercises to help with desk job ailments?
Desk job ailments. So I'm picturing someone who is hunched over at their desk for hours and hours upon end, and which is basically our lifestyle these days.
We're getting there, yeah.
So basically what you want to imagine is you are in a flex forward position, so your neck is a little bit stiff, your shoulders are stiff, your hips are stiff. There's some very common areas that get really locked up by being in that seated position. One exercise that I used to underestimate or like maybe was like underutilized on our end was the prone cobra. So you're laying on your stomach, you place your hands by your armpits, and you press yourself up as high as you comfortably can go. And it's basically the exact opposite of being in a seated position. And this move, I always kind of like categorize it as like, okay, this is a yoga move. Like, we don't really do it for mobility or for strength and conditioning. But Mike Reinold, who is a world-renowned physical therapist, he worked with the Boston Red Sox, he put out an article that was like, this is quite possibly one of the biggest bang for your buck stretches out there, mobility drills out there, in terms of not like reversing the effects of sitting, but just kind of counteracting some of those hours that you do just to kind of go the exact opposite direction from the position that you're always in. So we've been incorporating that a lot more into our mobility prep, into our cool downs, and it's definitely been very beneficial.
Yeah, and the same goes for any really like extension mobility drill through your upper back and through your hips, because those are the two areas that are flexed for the majority of the day, right? Especially mm-hmm. your hips. So the other one, another one, and you do get hip extension in that cobra, which is why it's such a good like overall global extension exercise or movement. But we could also kind of pare it down into, if you have more time than just one exercise, you could kind of separate out those two areas of the body, and you could do something like a foam roller T-spine extension, which is one that we post on Instagram a few times. But basically you put a foam roller along across your upper back and you're kind of like lying back on it. So your butt's on the ground, your shoulders are up on the foam roller, hands behind your head and elbows kind of tucked inward. And then you just slowly almost like wrap your upper back around the foam roller. So you're extending your back, bringing your head back toward the floor. You don't have to go all the way to the floor, but just kind of getting that extension, but using the foam roller as a way to guide you into it a little bit more.
It just feels so good.
I was just like thinking about how much I want to do it right now.
One key point for that one is to really try to keep your rib cage down, pull down. You don't want to just arch your lower back to get there, but really keep your rib cage down, keep your core engaged as you extend back. And that's going to really help isolate your T-spine. If you don't have a foam roller, you can really do it on a rolled up yoga mat, a rolled up towel, or even just sitting at your desk. Like if you're sitting at a desk right now, just lean back, get this seat, the back of your seat positioned lower so that the top of it kind of rests along your shoulder blade area, and you can extend from there as well.
Yeah.
But just getting some level of extension, since we tend to be flexed over at our desks most of the day.
Yeah, and then there's getting hip extension. So a hip flexor stretch is a great way to counteract the hip flexion that we're in all day, that sitting position. So a great one is to just get down on the ground into a half kneeling position. So it's like you're at the bottom of a lunge where your, let's say your left knee is down on the floor and your right foot is out in front of you, and you're kind of making two 90 degree angles with your legs. And then the big thing here, the big mistake that we see people make here with a hip flexor stretch is just aggressively arching your back and thinking that you're getting a hip flexor stretch. But what we actually want to do is think about tilting your hips under, kind of like tucking your pelvis under. And that alone, from that split stance position, that alone is going to create a hip flexor stretch. Like, you're probably going to feel it even without any movement. And then from there, and kind of like squeezing that glute, then you can drive forward just a little bit and you're going to feel a much bigger stretch localized to your hip flexor. When you're doing it where you arch your back and you get this bigger movement, you are going to be stretching your hip flexor, but you're not localizing it. You're kind of like getting extra extension through your lower back that isn't really what you're looking for when we're trying to counteract this sitting pattern.
Yeah. So if you have like limited time and you want a quick bang for your buck type of stretch, a cobra, just getting like 8 or 10 cobras is a great way to go about doing it. If you have a little bit more time, we like to include T-spine extensions off of a foam roller or a chair, and also some hip flexor stretching as well. And that kind of really covers most of the big bang for your buck areas in terms of trying to counteract some of those positions that get really tight.
Right. And then probably the biggest piece of advice is to just try and change positions and move throughout the day as much as you can. Because when we're thinking about like desk posture or how everybody's like, sitting is killing us and all this stuff that's like a little bit overblown, a little bit sensationalist. But what everybody is saying basically is that staying in the same position for a really long period of time is going to create some potential dysfunction or pain or things like that. But the actual like position that you're in isn't what's wrong. Does that make sense? So like just because every once in a while you're slumped in your chair doesn't mean that you have terrible posture and you're like being so neglectful of your posture and all this stuff. It just means that you should move in the other direction as well. So the only bad, quote unquote, bad posture is one that you can't get out of.
Yeah, we've worked with people that were in the military or people that were gymnasts, and they had this sort of very like ramrod straight, quote unquote, good posture. But they also couldn't get out of that position because they spent a good majority of their years in this sort of very perfectly straight up and down posture. And so it got to the point where they couldn't actually flex over. So flexing at their T-spine, which is a very important ability to be able to have for a number of factors, they were missing that ability. And so for them, we would actually incorporate a lot more work like cat-cows, where we're really emphasizing T-spine flexion and all sorts of drills. We're really doing the opposite of what we tell most people. But again, that's because one position isn't better than the other. We're just trying to expose you to ranges of motion that you typically don't experience on a day-to-day level.
Yes, exactly. So as you're going through your day, if you are somebody who sits at a desk, like just think about changing up the way that you're sitting. Like if you're able to, obviously a standing desk or like a sit to stand desk is awesome just to be able to get up out of your chair and stand for a little while. But even if that's not available, like just doing some little rotations at your chair, like looking over your left shoulder and then looking over your right shoulder, or bringing your arms up overhead or reaching back behind you, just moving a little bit in your chair is still going to be beneficial and is really going to help you just not feel so stiff at the end of the day. So as much little movement snacks as you can sneak into your day is going to be very helpful. All right, let's move into question number two. We get this one a lot. What supplements do you guys take? Which supplements do you believe in? All like basically tell us about supplements.
Supplements. So supplements, the first thing that we definitely want to get across is you do not need any supplements. And you can certainly get everything that we're about to talk about in through your diet. A lot of the supplements we're going to talk about are slight enhancers to your performance, but also just really convenient. And so for us, the number one thing that I can think of right now is protein powder. You know, you do need a certain amount of protein per day in order to continue to build muscle, especially if you're strength training. And so protein powder is just a really convenient way to add 25 to 30 grams of protein into your diet. And we just know that a lot of people have a tough time getting in the amount of protein that they need to continue to build muscle and build strength.
Yeah. And we even talked about it last week with adding it to oatmeal. That was the whole debate that began that way. And a lot of people, this is another side note, but people really in the Rise group, there was a whole thread about how helpful it was to pre-mix your protein powder in water before adding it to your oatmeal.
I saw a lot of Venmos going out to different people, and I think you were paying them off.
No, but I just wanted to say, if you're going to use protein powder in your oatmeal, another tip, because this also came up, extra tip, you only need to mix it with like a tablespoon of water. Mm-hmm. Just make it a paste and then add it to your oatmeal, because if you put too much water, then you're going to have watery oatmeal. Also not good. Mm. We don't want chalky oatmeal. We don't want watery oatmeal. So protein powder, 1 tablespoon of water, whisk it up until it's a paste, then add it to your pre-cooked oatmeal, and you are going to love life. And you're going to be getting extra protein in your diet when you're eating oatmeal.
Now, one other thing that we've been doing that has been a real big, I don't want to say game changer because that's really overblowing the situation.
That sounds really.
But instead, we traditionally just put the protein powder into a shaker, put it with some water, shook it up, you know, and then drank it, and then would forget to clean out the protein shaker bottle, and then it would be disgusting, and then we'd have to throw it away. Ew. So we'd go through all of that. But now we've actually been using our little Cuisinart blender, and we just pop in like 5 ice cubes, put some water. Sometimes we'll put milk in there, scoop of protein powder, scoop of creatine, blend it all up. And it's creatine is a little sneak peek into the next supplement. But it turns into like a delicious little smoothie.
Yeah, it feels more like a shake, like a smoothie than a shake.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And it is way more enjoyable of a taste than going through and trying to mix it all up into the shaker bottle. Pro tip on the cleanup is after you're done with the blending process, put the blending cup, put some water in there, put a dollop of dish soap, and then you blend up this sort of water dish soap combo. It cleans it all up. You rinse it out. It's just everything is done within like 30 seconds.
From a professional dishwasher.
I'm all about making things really clean and efficient from a dishwashing perspective, for sure. All right, the next supplement that we've been into is pre-workout. Lauren has actually been new to the pre-workout game.
Yeah, I took pre-workout for the first time probably like 2 or 3 months ago. So I'm still maybe a little bit more than that. But basically, yeah, I'm still like even figuring out how much I want to take and what the right amount is for me. One thing I realized about myself is that I cannot take it after like 5 p.m. Mm. Even though we get the caffeine-free version and the stim-free version, I took it one time for a nighttime workout. I think I took it at like 6. I think I was up until 3 in the morning. I was like, and the weird thing is I never feel like crazy after taking it for an afternoon workout.
Yeah.
I feel completely normal, but it was just because I was trying to relax and probably because then I was like in my head about like, I'm freaking out.
And you took more than normal that day. You took a half dose the first time, and the second time you're like, oh, I'll just do a full dose, no problem. And it was a little bit too late for that.
And it happened to be, like right before bed.
Pre-workout, I think there have been some negative connotations around pre-workout. You know, back in the day, there were products like NO Explode and Jack 3D, and it would have like outrageous amounts of caffeine. It would have also just like very suspect ingredients. Sometimes these products were banned due to like illicit substances that would illegally give you more muscles or whatnot. But basically, the companies these days are now actually using actually science-backed ingredients to help you just have a little bit of a boost of energy before your workout. So there are going to be ingredients like beta-alanine, citrulline, sometimes caffeine if you want it, all sorts of ingredients that basically give you a little boost, help to kind of like buffer fatigue, and just overall help the performance of the workout. So if you ever feel like you need just like a little bit of something to get you going, pre-workout can be a really nice addition to kind of like, I don't know, it's just like, it's part of a routine too, right? It's like, okay, 30 minutes before the workout, let's get our pre-workout in. Our body starts to get acclimated and we start to get a little bit excited. And then we're like, okay, let's go train. Whereas before pre-workout, it would be like, okay, we just sat at a desk for 8 hours. We just put the kids down to bed. Like, let's do it.
Let's go.
It just seems like too harsh of a transition. So it's been a nice little routine for us. Oh, and we like to get the, Lauren touched on this before, but we like to get the caffeine-free version just because we drink way too much coffee on a daily basis. So it's not that we need more caffeine. We just need a little bit of something else. So we get the caffeine-free version.
Yeah. So overall, it's really great. It really does feel like it gives us a little bit more energy for the workout. And one thing I will say is you can feel a little bit like tingly from it. And that's the beta-alanine, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But just a warning, because the first time I took it, I was like, what is happening? And it was specifically in my face. And I was like, oh, my God, what's happening? My face is tingling. That actually has, like, dissipated for me. So I don't know. Maybe your body gets more used to it. But that is something to just keep in mind, is that might happen.
Like, you don't have to go to the urgent care.
Yeah, you're okay. You're fine.
And actually, pro tip for here as well is we take it about 30 minutes before the workout. And similar to the protein powder, we put just enough water to kind of get it mixed up, which leaves a very concentrated taste. But I'm not a big fan of drinking a ton of water, like 8 ounces of water right before the workout. Not only do you have to go to the bathroom multiple times, but you just kind of feel full of water. So we just do just enough. There's this trend on TikTok where people are dry scooping their pre-workout. So they're taking the scooper, putting it into their mouths, and then swallowing it simultaneously with a sip of water from their water bottle.
And like, so unnecessary.
It's very unnecessary. People are throwing up chunks of dry powder. It's just not good. So you don't have to dry scoop, but a little bit of water and is really all you need.
I actually think now that I'm just like having a flashback right now, but I'm pretty sure we did an episode, another Q&A where we specifically talked about pre-workout, because I'm remembering this conversation and I hadn't taken pre-workout yet. And I was like, tell me why. I don't understand why people do dry scooping. And were like, oh, because people don't want a lot of water in their system. And now, like at that point, I was like, I don't understand that even a little bit. And now that I am taking pre-workout, I'm like, okay, I understand not wanting to chug like it says to mix with like 8 ounces of water. Yeah. That would just take a long time to drink. It would be, you would feel like you have a lot of water jiggling around in your belly. Like you don't want that during a lift. So I get adding a couple ounces, like maybe 2 ounces of water.
Yeah, it's great.
But I still don't understand dry scooping.
Yeah, and they also say like that it's supposed to like hit your system like quicker and like harder and whatnot, but it's like you get the same effect. Yeah, it's fine. No, yeah.
It's unnecessary. Don't put yourself through it. Okay, so we take
protein powder
pre-workout.
Creatine, I touched on that earlier. Creatine, again, with TikTok and social media, creatine is this supplement that people make it out to be like this miracle product that's essentially like a steroid. It is not a steroid. It is a naturally occurring substance in your body. And it's probably the most researched supplement ever. There's so many different studies on it. And it's only positive study after positive study. But basically, creatine will help you to build muscle. It'll help you with your muscle endurance. It'll help you with cognition. There's just so many different things that creatine helps you to do, and it's just a great way to kind of like boost your results after your workout. But again, this isn't like you're suddenly going to pack on tons of muscle and just become so strong. It's just an extra little edge that helps you with your workouts.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that different from taking a little bit of protein powder. Like, it's not like all of a sudden you're going to be like this muscle bound. Like, like it's just a little boost, a little extra, a little, because you're, like you said, your body's already creating creatine. So it's already, you already have creatine in your system. It's just giving you a little bit more.
Yeah.
So yeah, again, not one that you have to take, but something that a lot of people feel really good taking. And there's absolutely like a ton of research on that it's safe and effective.
Yeah. Now, Legion has a product called Recharge, which is sort of like a post-workout formula where they've got creatine, they've got citrulline, they've got some other ingredients to kind of help with the recovery process in addition to the creatine. But you can also just get creatine monohydrate from literally anywhere. It's very inexpensive for a lot of servings. You just have one little scoop, 5 milligrams of the creatine, put it into water or juice or whatever you want to put it in, your protein shake. And it's just a really affordable but also beneficial supplement.
Yeah. All right. And then outside of that is just kind of multivitamins. You had a whole segment a couple of weeks ago on your B complex and how much changing your life.
Yep.
But I mean, really for multivitamins, like we always just think like a general multivitamin is a good idea, just kind of cover all your bases. And then of course, if you have been working with like a physician who tells you that you're vitamin D deficient or vitamin B deficient or whatever, you can take those specific vitamins. A general multi is always just kind of like a good call.
Yeah, it's always a good call.
Yeah.
Now, as far as supplement brands go, there are a bunch of brands out there that are very reputable. We personally use Legion, LEGION.
It's in the intro.
Okay, great.
They know.
And we just love that the fact that it's a sort of one-stop shop for all of our supplement needs. But there are plenty out there if you want to do your own research. There's Transparent Labs. There's Buff Chick Supplements. There is PES Science. There's a bunch out there that are very reputable. We just happen to like Legion a lot. If you do end up using Legion, we do have a code PAK20, PAK20, and that gives you 20% off your first purchase. and also double loyalty points for subsequent purchases, which kind of equates to, I think, like 6 to 10% cash back or so. So it's a pretty good deal. So if you do end up going with Legion, use our code.
Yeah. But yeah, just an overall reminder that supplements are not any sort of quick fix, magic pill. Like, don't believe all of the sensational claims that people might make about supplements. They are truly just to supplement an overall healthy lifestyle. So don't make them your first focus. Have your first focus be on your overall nutritional strategy, your overall workout, your overall recovery. And then if you feel like, okay, I'm ready to sort of step things up, take things to the next level, supplements can be very helpful in that scenario.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Question number three, are you two dealing with any injuries or pain or physical limitations?
Why, yes. Yes, we are.
We sure are. I think this is actually something that can be a little bit hard for personal trainers or physical therapists or chiropractors to be transparent about. I think that they tend to think that if they are honest about having an injury or pain, that then people will be like, oh, you must not be a good trainer, or you must not be a good physical therapist. But the reality is that we are literally humans, and humans get aches and pains and they get hurt. And there's no possible way that you could have this perfect training program and perfect plan and never have any sort of pain or injury. It just it's not possible.
Yeah, especially if you're lifting on a consistent basis, if you're active, if you're playing sports, like, you're putting yourself at risk for, you know, things happening. And that's one of the reasons why with our training, we really want to expose our bodies to different ranges of motion and different mobility drills and multi-planar drills, because we want to try to be prepared for, you know, whatever life throws at us. But the nature of being very physically active just definitely does put you more at risk for
things to pop up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like whether you are completely sedentary or super, super active, like, or anywhere in the middle, things will pop up. It's just going to be different things that pop up. So if you're completely sedentary and you're not lifting and you're not doing any of the like stuff in the gym that could potentially lead to an overuse injury or a tweak here and there, then you probably will have other issues, right? Because you'll slip on the ice and fall because you're not strong, or, you know, whatever it is. So like, everyone is susceptible. There is no like perfect way to live unless you literally live in a bubble and never move to not get injured or not have pain pop up.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of bubbles, it's kind of like an analogy could be like, you cannot get sick by never exposing yourself to germs, or you could strengthen your immune system by exposing yourself to a lot of germs, and you end up getting sick, but you also end up getting stronger in the process systemically. So, you know, there's different ways to look at it. But yeah, we do want to kind of touch upon that. We do definitely experience injuries, no matter how much mobility work and injury prevention work that we do, because we try to stay very physically active.
Right. So, currently right now I have been dealing with a little bit of a hip flexor thing. So I actually, like, at the bottom of squats and like lateral lunges specifically, I was like having a hard time coming up out of it. I was feeling some discomfort in my hip. So I went to physical therapy. I mean, that's like our number one thing when you have pain, is like, just go have somebody look at it. I think that we all like to have like a quick fix solution. So we'll go online and be like, how to fix hip pain. And then there's like a million different things that might not apply to your specific situation. And you probably will end up creating more just difficulty in trying to figure this out for yourself by trying to do it quickly or for free.
Yeah.
And so we always recommend going to see a professional if you do have pain that is recurring. I mean, like, a different situation right now is I had this like random knee tweak the other day, and it's already getting better. So I'm just letting it play itself out. Like, sometimes you just have things that pop up that feel a little weird, and like 2 days later, you forget that it was ever a thing and it just goes away on its own.
As long as you don't aggravate it.
Oh, right.
So your program says to do something and you continue to do it because it's in the program.
Yeah.
But you always want to make sure to check in with yourself and be like, is this the right approach for me right now? Or if I give this another day, will it be much better?
Right, exactly. So that's a very good point. So it is what I kind of was saying about was just like, you don't have to call a physical therapist every time that you feel like a little twinge of something. Like,
yes,
you can kind of take your time to figure out, is this something that is just irritated right now and I can work around it and make sure I modify things, and then hopefully it gets better on its own. Or with my hip, for example, it was something that was persisting and like getting to the point where I was like, okay, I won't back squat, I'll goblet squat, which normally would kind of like take it away. And I was like, nope. So then I'm like, okay, let me see how it feels body weight squats. Still not feeling good and continuing to not feel good week to week. In that case, I wanted to go see a physical therapist and have them do like a more individual evaluation.
Yeah. And for me, I have a little shoulder thing going on right now. And it's happened ever since I participated in a flag football game. And I don't even remember what happened, but the only motion that like really gets at it is if I'm really reaching forward with my arm. So what I kind of imagine is that I was reaching my arm forward in order to grab a flag from the other person's hip. And maybe they gave me a stiff arm and kind of like pushed my torso back. So maybe there was like some separation between my shoulder and my torso and just something tweaked. And ever since then, I mean, it's been a few weeks. I should get it checked out by a physical therapist. Ever since then, pressing motions have been hit or miss on a day-to-day basis. And so what I've been doing is, barbell bench press is probably the biggest culprit. What I've been doing is, if it's a day where it's not feeling great, I'll just switch up my barbell bench press grip a little bit. So usually I go, I have a certain landmark on the bar. So I usually put my middle fingers on the ring. On the rings, basically. I think every bar has it. And that's kind of like my landmark. But if that doesn't feel good, I'll just sneak my hand in a little bit closer. So let's say my ring finger or my pinky finger on the rings. And it seems negligible, but just that like 1 inch difference makes a huge impact on the way the bar moves, which muscles are activating. Like a lot of things change just by that little switch up. And so oftentimes I can kind of move my hand position around and suddenly become pain-free for that day. But let's say that even moving my hand grip doesn't feel good, like moving my position doesn't feel good, then I'll switch over to a dumbbell bench press because usually that's a lot freer. And sometimes a dumbbell bench press might not feel good either, in which case I'll go with a lighter movement like cable pressing or whatever. But hopefully this kind of illustrates the idea that you can still really do very similar movements that work the same muscles and work the same patterns, but aren't going to irritate that joint any further and delay your recovery further. And so this took quite a long time. This took like 10 years to like finally be okay with deviating from the program a little bit and deviating from the exact set and rep scheme that I'm supposed to do that day. But hopefully throughout these podcast episodes, you understand how important it is to be sustainable, to be consistent, and how much that plays a much bigger role than happening to miss a workout or missing a particular lift that day.
Yeah, exactly. So that's our main piece of advice for anyone who is experiencing, whether it's a bigger injury or even just these little tweaks and pains that come up randomly, is just to try to think about what you can do as opposed to what you can't do. So we're looking for ways to work around an injury or work around pain as opposed to feeling just down about the fact that you're injured and that you can't do this and focusing so much on that. Because really, in reality, every movement that we do in the gym is just an option. Like it's just an option for how to strengthen a certain area of your body. So if a squat isn't working for you, which it wasn't working for me for a little while, I was just using different options. If I had access to the gym, I was doing leg presses and leg extensions. If I didn't, I was just doing barbell hip lifts, which weren't irritating my hip, but still working my lower half, my lower body. And then I'm just going to hopefully be able to incorporate squats again in the future. But it really is about just figuring out how can you still get the same general effect without irritating whatever is going on. All right, we have time for one more question because then we have to go pick up the kids from daycare. We squeezed this in a little bit too late in the afternoon, but we'll get through it. So question number 4, thoughts on using a belt while squatting or using a belt in general?
Using a weightlifting belt. So I would say if you had asked me maybe 6 to 8 years ago, I would say absolutely not. It weakens your core. You are
artificial strength.
Yeah, you are probably going to have back pain if you rely on that, like all these sorts of things about a belt. And more recently, I've just been more open to the idea of using different tools that have been kind of like very much mainstays in powerlifting and Olympic lifting and just like being more open to try things. And so Over Black Friday, actually, Rogue had a sale, and I was just scrolling through their sale list, and they happened to have a weightlifting belt that was on sale. And I was like, you know what? I've literally never used one before. Like, let me try it out and just see how it feels. And It feels great. It, like, when I'm using it, I feel like I can get through my set of squats much faster, like my 4 to 5 sets of squats much faster. I feel less overall fatigued, and my legs still get the same amount of, you know, benefit and all that. So I just feel just stronger and just more like stable, I guess, because of the pressure that that I'm able to get with the belt.
Yeah.
Now, would I recommend it to someone just starting to lift? Probably not.
Like, probably definitely not.
Probably, definitely, most likely
definitely
not.
Definitely, maybe.
With less experienced people, you definitely want to just learn how to brace and control your trunk and handle heavier loads. But I do think for someone who is maybe more intermediate or advanced, like, it could be beneficial to just check out and see how it feels, especially those who are on a program that incorporates plenty of core work elsewhere. Like, I feel like I'm like not missing out on any sort of core stability work because I have plenty of it in other aspects of the program. So I'm doing planks and dead bugs and anti-rotation work all other aspects of my program. And squats and deadlifts are where I'm kind of experimenting with it now. So I don't see any sort of decrease in core stability because I'm experiencing in other aspects of my program. So if you're in that boat, I think it's beneficial to just at least try it out and just kind of see how it feels.
Yeah. One thing I will say about wearing a belt is that you really do have to understand proper breathing mechanics in order to actually get the most out of the belt, because a lot of people don't really know how to breathe in sort of that like 360 degree expansion on the inhale, right? Which is really the key to using a belt, is that you want to breathe into the belt and into the entire belt. So we're not just breathing and sticking your stomach out into the belt. We're actually trying to expand sideways and expand back and expand forward to create extra pressure in order to get that stability from the belt.
Yeah. Right?
And so that's really key to know before you just start randomly putting a belt on without knowing why you're using it.
Yeah. A good sort of visual is, imagine that you have this sort of like box. Let's say it's like a metal box and there's a balloon inside. When you breathe in, you want to imagine that this balloon is just filling up the container that it's in, and a whole lot of air pressure is being built up. And that air pressure lends itself well to just overall core stability, intra-abdominal stability, and that usually transfers to a stronger lift.
Right.
So overall, at the end of the day, it can definitely be a enhancer in terms of strength, an enhancer in terms of just feeling stronger in your lift. Definitely not necessary, especially not for less experienced people.
It's the theme of today's episode. It's like, you don't have to do it. you don't have to take supplements. You don't have to do it. But if you are like at the point where you really want to keep kind of pushing the envelope on how strong you can get and how much weight you can lift with squats, it's a good idea to use it as a way to kind of make you feel more stable, make you feel more comfortable with the lift. So if you're just still like new to squats and you're just still kind of getting the lay of the land of weightlifting, I would hold off and really allow yourself to build up that strength more naturally. But as you get more and more experienced, it really can be a nice enhancer.
Yeah. Oh, and this is not a crutch if you happen to have back pain. I feel like a lot of people with back pain will try to get a back brace or use a weightlifting belt to sort of like counteract it. That is definitely not the instance that you want to use a belt. We want to be pain-free, and we just need this as a little bit of a boost and enhancer, not as a way to sort of like mask pain.
Yes, totally.
And then one other note on this is how to actually incorporate the belt into your training. And what we typically recommend is try not to use it for your warm-up sets or your sort of like working up two sets, and use it once you get to around 85 to 90% of your max. And that's where the load starts to become heavy enough where using a belt actually does start to matter. But using it for every single set, I do feel like you don't want to be in a position where like you forget your belt one day and now you're suddenly in your head about squats, or you do end up becoming a little bit overly reliant, even just psychologically, on it. I just feel like you just need it just for that little boost when the weights are getting to an appreciable level.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's all we have for you today. Hopefully you enjoy that Q&A episode. Let us know if you did.
Yeah, we're definitely happy to do more of this format if this is something that you like. So definitely let us know at Reasonably Fit Pod in the comments of the episode if you want this to be a more consistent style of episode.
Yeah.
Before we go, pick up the kids. Thank you so much for all of the ratings and reviews that we've been receiving on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. We've been really appreciating it. We feel like you're hearing us and you're feeling our desperation.
Lauren will send a screenshot every morning with the latest review and it melts my heart and it feels awesome. So thank you for those reviews.
We appreciate it.
Until next time.
Sweat out.
Happiness in. Woo.